Welcome to Sunny in Seattle with your host, Sunny Joy.
And coming up on today's show, Sunny's joined by senior publicist at New World Library, Kim Skipper Corbin. So tune in for a fun conversation on everything from the spiritual wisdom at New World Library to the worldwide skipping movement and to the Unicorn Blessing Brigades. And now we welcome your host for the day, Sunny Joy.
And good morning. Welcome to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy McMillan, and we're here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. KKNW, bringing you amazing guests and resources that will help you create a life filled with peace, joy, freedom, and purpose. It is radio that positively shines. And if you can't catch the show live, you can always access the show archives. Those are found at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. You can also find the show on iTunes and Podcast One. And I'm really excited to speak with our guest today. And it's kind of a special, like, I think for the last few weeks, or really this summer, as I look forward to the next 3 years at Divinity School and everything really changing in my life, and looking back on over seven years of doing the show, there are just some folks who stand out to me, not only as guests, but people that I've had the opportunity to collaborate with, sometimes in the most serendipitous of ways. And my guest today is one of those people, and it just felt so perfect to invite her to be a guest on the show, and I'll tell you a little bit more about why. But her name is Kim Skipper Corbin. She is a senior publicist and social media manager at New World Library Publishing, which, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know New World Library authors are some of my favorites. They just put out such good work at that house. And then she also, Kim Skipper Corbin, there's a reason Skipper is her middle name. She has been celebrating the joy of skipping for 23 years. You can find out more about her skipping practice, and she's made the rounds internationally for that one, at iskip.com. That's iskip.com. And she has a new venture these days, which we were just talking about before going on air, called the Unicorn Blessing Brigade. So we're going to find out all about that and more. Kim, welcome to Sunny in Seattle.
Oh, Sunny, it is such a joy to be here with you.
Yeah, it is just wild, Kim, because, I'll preface it by saying, back when I first started the show, and I didn't know many of the publicists who were doing spiritual work. And then, you know, as the show kind of got some legs underneath it and we were around for a little while, I would start getting email inquiries or little packages from publicists with books. And I don't know how you originally heard about my show. I think there are some other shows on KKNW that you have known about for many, many years. And so maybe mine just kind of got added to the list that was at KKNW for your authors. But you started sending me materials, and inevitably, you know, your authors were always people that I wanted to talk to because the subject matter just fits so beautifully with my mission for the show about mind, body, and spirit wellness, with really an emphasis on the spirit part. But the thing was, you would send these packets that were just like so beautiful in the sense that it was clear you knew your authors and you had read their work and were very familiar with everything, every aspect of who they were and what they were doing. And then you would write these beautiful like summaries and these suggested questions if someone, for example, didn't have time to read the whole book or whatever. I was like, who is this person? I think I sent you a little thank you note, and then kind of like a email or like a remote friendship began. I don't know if you remember more details.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then fast forward to about 2018 when Chase and I felt very called to move to Northern California, and we looked around at 8 different cities and ended up very synchronistically but not planned in Petaluma and decided this is it. And then I think, I don't know how it happened, maybe you saw on Facebook we were moving there or what, but you were like, I live in Petaluma. I was like, what? Oh, and it was just so awesome because you invited me to be a part of the Butter and Eggs Day Parade, or there's a whole week that celebrates butter and eggs in Petaluma. And you suggested that we go to the parade together, and I think you said, should we wear chicken outfits? And I'm like, sure. What? And having never met you in person, I ordered the chicken costume on Amazon. You did the same thing, or ordered a chicken costume. We meet for brunch in our chicken costumes a couple hours before the parade. And then, you know, like an in real life friendship was formed at that point. But it was such a serendipitous connection of dots that I never would have anticipated. And now here we sit, you know, 7 years later with the show and having several years in Petaluma where you and I did a lot of, we got together as friends, but we had the women's circle that was your idea that was just fabulous, that we had a really nice group of folks who participated in that. Anyway, we've got a lot of threads that connect us, Kim.
I'm so grateful. Thank you, universe, for bringing Sunny Joy into my life.
I feel the same way with Kim Skipper Corbin. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because it's funny, you know, you're always sending me the authors who I interview, but I've never spoken with you on air, and you are fabulous when it comes to media. I mean, there's a reason you're a senior publicist and you manage the social media. But I was really excited because I would like to have you on the other side of the mic, because I know in all the years that you have worked with authors at New World Library that you have had the privilege of being at the leading edge of thought of some of the things that are being published. And I wanted to not only talk about some of your personal interest with skipping and the Unicorn Blessing Brigade, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about your time at New World Library and how that came about. And one of my inspirations for thinking this would be a really neat thing to be able to interview you about was Stephanie Banks, who's an Intuitive Channel, who's a dear friend, and she's been on the show. And she had me do a little bonus class for one of her offerings recently, because she said, in all your years of doing the show, surely you've got some spiritual nuggets of wisdom that, you know, you've kind of taken away from your time interviewing all these people. I would love it if you would share them. I thought, Kim's got to have some really big nuggets that she's taken away in her years at New World Library. So anyway, Kim, I'm curious, how did you come to New World Library? And let's talk a little bit about some of your authors.
Wow. Well, the New World Library, it was a long and circuitous route, which mm-hmm. ultimately started with my skipping calling.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I'm not sure exactly where to begin there. So I had this, maybe we'll get to that in a little bit, but I started a skipping project and I worked in publishing at the time. I moved to San Francisco in 1996 mm-hmm. because I met a guy on the internet and ended up falling in love with the city more than the guy. And I I had been working for my dad at the time because he had self-published a book in Indiana that I fell in love with, and he hired me to be his marketing person.
Okay.
So I taught myself the self-publishing world. And then when I met this guy and fell in love with San Francisco, I started applying for jobs and I got an entry-level publishing job in San Francisco from Indiana. It was just meant to be.
Yeah.
And so I started, it was Josie Bass Publishers. And so I started there. And then my mentor, Joanne Skinner, ended up getting pregnant. And so she left and I was promoted to publicity director. So I was the publicity director there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then I started my skipping project, which took me off into really far into left creative field. I ended up quitting my job for it. And, it's quite a whole, there's lots there.
Yeah, I mean, Kim, it all really feeds together. If we should incorporate the skipping part of it now, let's do it. We've got an hour together. I want to go wherever you want to go with it.
Okay, so while I was working at Josie Bass, I was out with a couple of friends, and one of them skipped in front of me and said, come on, let's skip, and went skipping ahead. And I followed, even though I was kind of I hadn't skipped for a long time. Not rope skipping, just skipping down the street. So mm-hmm. I was skipping down the street and I had this entire vision at the time that I should start a worldwide skipping movement, that I could get my friends to skip with me. I could do publicity about it. And then people would have permission to skip and it could start a movement. I had the whole vision. Yeah. That was when my calling found me,
yes.
I'd say the first time. And I wasn't ready to say yes yet. I didn't do it. I talked about it and everyone loved the idea and then nothing came of it. And then 2 years later, through a whole nother series of synchronicities and magic, the skipping calling came back around right when the .com world was getting going.
Okay.
So it was all these websites were starting up. And so I had decided to start running. And I told my coworker, I went for a run this morning. I'm the worst runner ever. I hate running. I'll never be able to run. I was lamenting to her. And in that same conversation, she said that she told me a story about her 4-year-old daughter asking her to skip with her at the mall that the day before. And she said it was so bizarre. And like, cause I took her hand and I did it, but I thought adults don't skip. And as soon as she said those words, it was like the vision boop. And I'm not a vision type of person at all. I'm a very grounded Capricorn, you know, but it was just clear to me that that was something I should do. And so I created iSkip.com right in the middle of the .com gold rush where anything was possible and people were getting millions of dollars for IPOs with no business model. You know, like it was just that time. It was a magic time. And I had just come back from, I was new to the Burning Man scene. And so my whole thing was, I'm not trying to make money. I just want to share a positive message with the world. And I think that's what the internet ultimately is for, is to share positivity. And so it became this, just like my vision, it became this immense movement. Yeah. I mean, like I was in Time and People and Newsweek and the Donnie, Chronicle did a big story. Donnie and Marie. Donnie and Marie.
On national television.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and here's, you know, me kind of relatively fresh off the boat from Indiana, just like, oh my gosh. Like, and it was coming from outside of me. I mean, that was the most interesting thing, was it was a calling. And I naively assumed that if I just did what I was told, that it just meant that it was going to be this straight path upward and I was going to have this, you know, wonderful, everything was going to be happy rainbows and unicorns from then on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's not really how most creative journeys go. Now I know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if I leap, the net will follow. And my dad says, how's the cash registering, Kim? He's a Harvard MBA. I'm like, I don't know, Dad. It's my calling. If I leap, the way will be shown to me. Right. Well, you know, 23 years later, I have a net, but they should put like, will eventually follow in the subtitle, if you leap and the net will follow, you know, like, and I went through a very dark night of the soul on the other side. I never doubted that it was still something I was supposed to do. But it also was, it wasn't even that I wanted the skipping movement. It was what guided me and what is it guiding me to do now? Like I started like really like what happened there? I really felt in the dark and it was and I declared bankruptcy. And I mean, it was a really dark night and I didn't necessarily care if the world skipped or not. Honestly, it was like, I wanted to have that feeling of using my life to make the world a better place. Like that's what the experience gave me. And that was what I was longing for. And so I ended up, once I went back to work, I worked for this 80-year-old bodybuilder who was like, wrote a book about going from having heart failure to being a bodybuilding champion. Wow. He was like 80 or something, 75 or something.
Wow.
And he was a maniac. He was absolutely crazy. And I worked for him for a year and he ended up firing me on Christmas Eve.
What?
Basically just like out of the blue, right when the book was about ready to come out. And then I went to Curves for Women and the manager there and I, wasn't a fit. I got fired from all these jobs. It was like, I'm like, what is going on? I tried to say yes to my calling and I was really lost for a while.
Yeah.
And then I ended up at the Learning Annex in San Francisco, which was an amazing job where it was a lot of speakers and booking speakers, but it was a really hard job. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, and it wasn't a good fit energetically, and they were doing a lot of Donald Trump real estate. Donald Trump was like their main speaker at the time, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
And then during that time, my friend Adrian found an ad for a publicist job at New World Library, where I had been a publicity director before. I was the program director. It was kind of like, it was a little bit of a step down on the corporate ladder. But it was for New World Library and it was as a publicist. So I went and interviewed thinking, I don't know, and just fell in love with the company and found my place.
Yes. Yes.
In my way of making a difference, like no matter what happened or didn't happen with the skipping movement. I also thought that the book at the time, because I had the thing that I was hoping was going to save me financially was I was writing a book. I had an agent and everything from all the media that didn't sell. And so then I thought, oh, it's a sign. The book, they're going to publish my book. And it's, it's going to just, now the straight shot upward's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I presented them to my book and my book, I know now that, I was still in the depths of it.
Yeah.
I couldn't really write a book that was going to, the book that I'm ultimately going to write.
Yeah.
that I'm still working on now until I was in it. I was too in it. And yeah. they didn't know exactly what to say. And it was kind of weird to be an internal person and be like, hey, will you publish this? You know?
Right, right.
But so I went to a book coach and they kind of helped me see, like, you're kind of still in the dark night. Like, you don't know what you're bringing back yet. And if you push it, it might not be good. So I put that on the back burner and just focused on I've been there 16 years now.
That's wild. Yeah,
16 years of, and I learned while I was there, like, oh, like there's that literally like Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, which is what I had been on.
Yeah.
And Bill Plotkin's work about soulcraft and like the depths of soul. Oh, that's what I was going through, you know? So it really was instructive to me for my own journey and like the nuggets you're talking about. And it seemed like the right books would always find me at the right time, you know, like that would really help me where I was. Like there was one book called The Woman's Belly Book. And I was really struggling with my relationship with my body at the time. And it's all about how our bellies are our power center. And I hated my belly. Mm. And so like that, and that started helping me be more in my body. Like, it's like these little pathways would open up because every season I get a whole new batch of amazing authors there.
Yes.
That's the very long story of how I ended up at New World Library and why I'm so grateful to be here.
Yes. And there's so much I want to unpack around all of that. So looking back, when you said you never, even when things were not going well, like you had some financial crisis and weren't sure where the skipping movement was going, but you never doubted the call to show up in the world in a way that would be meaningful and helpful to other people. When you look back on that time now, what else have you learned, or what are your takeaways that you could not have had otherwise if not for the really dark night of the soul moments?
One of the biggest ones was, and I can remember when it happened, is because I kept thinking, I want the skipping movement to look like this. I was so upset that I felt abandoned by whatever had called me, because all of a sudden nothing's going my way, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember having a moment where just this kind of knowing came in that it wasn't about saying, it's easy to say yes to a fun invitation, like, invite the world to skip and be on national media.
Yeah.
you know, like that's fun.
Yeah.
It's not so fun to say yes to, oh, you're in, maybe there's some shadow stuff you need to look at to learn. And that's where you are right now. How do you say yes to that?
Yeah.
So that's a big one, is how to say yes to the moment and what, and to find what in the moment, maybe if you're resisting, what needs you need to look at so that the flow can happen.
Yes.
So that was a big one, was the saying yes, I would say.
Yep.
Even when it doesn't look like what you want it to look like. And then also, like, when I was at the Learning Annex and it wasn't a good fit for me energetically, I was pretty, you know, it was not a very, very good place to work. I also would remember back to times where, like, I'd be like, there's something for me to learn here. And until I learn it, it's not going to change. So it's good that I'm here. Yeah. And I would also try and remember back to other times in my life where I'd been in a similar situation and knowing that it wasn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
Was another one.
Yeah. Would you trade what happened or would you do anything differently looking back?
The main thing that I would do differently is that I would not have quit my day job so quickly.
Interesting.
Just because I've been thinking a lot about comfort zones, right? So starting the skipping movement was a big leap out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
And going, moving to California and all of that. And then leaping without a financial net was also a big leap out of the comfort zone, but it was almost like I was leaping out of my comfort zone for its own sake, you know? And then it's really hard to live a creative life and to be able to find creative solutions one of the big things I learned, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
If you don't have a financial base and you don't have that comfort, it's very hard to hold that, to live like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the, and so I really realized that along the way, and that, you know, it's not necessarily leaping for its own sake isn't always the best choice. It's like discernment's important and you want to be daring, but comfort's also important to some degree. Like, it's not just, I just threw all the, I'm like, oh, who cares? I'll just like throw all my comfort out the window. And that didn't go so well.
It does. That does make sense. You know what you're saying, even from a brain science perspective, because if we are in, even if it's a low level of fight or flight based on, let's say, financial stress or concern, you are then in a different part of your brain than the part that allows creativity and inspiration to come through and those kinds of things. So I think, yeah, that's a very good point, Kim.
Yeah, it was definitely not, you know, I learned a lot and it went like it needed to go, but yeah. It, you know, it might've been a much shorter road. Who knows what it would have looked like? Like, I can't go back and change it, but yeah. If I was giving someone else advice in a similar situation, I would say, you know, give your dream the benefit of holding both for as long as you can.
Yes.
Versus just being like, I want to start this and I'm going to, and if I leap, the net will follow. Like, it will eventually follow. There's no, and when I'm working on a book and one of my chapters is divine timing can be a real bitch.
That's awesome.
You know, like, it doesn't, with the divine does not work on our time. It works on its own time. And like, so I'm 23 years, I'm in this. And I just thought, and because it was such a big start, I thought it was just like, woo.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's 23 years and it's still, you know, it's evolving and changing and growing and I'm still connect. The thread of it is still there, but yeah. It's not what I would have expected at the time for sure.
Yeah. And do you have a sense now where you sit with the book or the manuscript, that you, whereas before, whatever the book coach said about, you weren't really sure exactly, you were still in it and you weren't sure or couldn't know exactly where it was supposed to go. What sense do you have around that now from the benefit of this many years later?
I have a whole outline of chapter.
Yeah.
Titles, you yeah. know, like what I said, divine timing can be a
yeah.
real bitch.
Yeah.
Something about the magic happens outside of our comfort zones. Like, I have an outline.
Yeah.
And now it's really been at one. And also one of the things is you can only go as fast as the slowest part of you feel safe to go.
Oh, say that again.
You can only go as fast as the slowest part of you feel safe to go.
Yeah.
This is really the crux of it for me. And right now my slowest part is still like has PTSD from trying to write a book for 23 years and failing. And that I didn't recognize at the time. I didn't even know she existed when this journey began, really. You know, like this, it was like, oh, I found my inner child. And then through skipping, and then I was like, come on, inner child, like, let's go. And she was like the superstar. I was like a pageant kid.
Yes.
My inner child was. But at the same time, I was just skipping. I was skipping past my fears. I was saying, you know, like and fears were coming up. I'm like, nope, I'm skipping past them. I'm just like bulldozing. Well, those fears are still in there. And the vulnerable child and the afraid child and the hurt child, like all that were in there, but just like not having any attention. And so then when things didn't go well, then I started recognizing, oh. And when the law of attraction, you know, I'm like, I'm manifesting. It's like, well, it's not just manifesting the good. It's also what's in your unconscious.
Yeah.
So really starting to pay attention to her and realizing like, I can't do it without her. Mm-hmm. And how do I love her? And how do I pay attention to her? And how do I balance kind of, you know, the skipping enthusiasm and all that part of like the magic of it with like checking in really with the part of me that I didn't even want to acknowledge existed when it all began.
Yes. But it sounds like she's a big part of the manuscript now.
Yeah. Well, she's still hiding under the bed. I'm waiting patiently for her to show up in my, I really try and make space and come to the page and I've got the outline and
yeah,
so she's still kind of hiding under the bed.
No, hear that. Oh, well, is there anything else, you know, before we kind of turn to some of the nuggets or the gems that you've picked up along the way from some of your New World Library authors, but is there anything else around the skipping movement that you want to share with folks? I'm curious what it means to you now versus what it meant to you back then, you know, kind of what is still the thread or the underlying mission that you carry with you that's just kind of a part of who you are from what I gather.
Yeah. The biggest part of the skipping movement for me, everyone always wanted to talk about the you know, like the fitness benefits, yeah. which are tremendous. Like that's why yeah. it became such a big news story. But for me, it was always about kind of recognizing different parts of myself, choosing joy over fear. So, mm-hmm. so part of me would be saying, don't, you can't skip. People are going to think you're crazy. Like that voice still after 23 years shows up often if I'm skipping, like, yeah. or if I'm doing something unusual, but the voice of joy and the voice of my spirit would be like, oh my gosh, got so strong and love skipping. And so for me, it was like that being able to choose between the two.
Yes.
Is what the skipping movement always has been about for me. Mm. So, yeah, so that's still, I would say that's still the, at the heart of it for me. And then it's just like diving deeper into the, to those voices. And I used to be so evangelical about it. Like it really mattered to me whether people skipped or not. And now not so much. I'm, you know, I'm more tempered about it. I love to skip in a, I go to the empty workout room and I pick a really happy song.
Yeah.
And I skip to my heart's content, like, and just up my vibration. Like that's how I skip now. Yeah. And it's more about having fun instead of like, you, if some people skip for miles and miles, like people skip whole marathons. But for me, it's like skipping is about how much fun you have from point A to point B. Yes. So if you skip 10 steps and you have so much joy, like that's better than skipping a mile and being like, oh, I can't wait till this is over.
Ah, yeah. I love that. Cause I was looking, poking around on iSkip.com, which is the website. If you want to find out more about the skipping movement and what Kim has created there, iSkip.com. And you had mentioned skipping as a spiritual practice and it connecting you with the voice in your heart. And I thought, oh, that's awesome. I hadn't even thought about that.
That's yeah. really, that's my favorite benefit of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, yeah. Very cool.
And joy. I mean, in our world today, like we need joy. We need to choose joy so much. Like that's, we're publishing a new book by Lee Harris in the fall.
Ah.
And it's Conversations with the Z's. So he channels the Z's. And a big part of their message in the book is that we can't just focus on the grislier aspects of life. We need right. to be, you know, choose joy and amplify joy and bring as much presence and joy into our lives for ourselves and for others. And then as we do that, it's like spreads that energy across the land. And that's another thing that skipping is just, you see someone skipping and it immediately is joy, or you skip and it immediately connects you, your body to a felt sense of joy. And, yeah. and that is something that our world needs more than ever, I think.
Yeah. It's very, when we're talking about this, it feels very practical because I've been with Kim before and we've done a little bit of skipping here and there, probably in our chicken costumes. I think we maybe did for a little bit that day at the parade, but it is to me impossible to start skipping without having a giggle go with it. Cause you feel kind of silly, but then you feel it's kind of fun. And it just, like you say, the movement of it is like an uplifting movement. So yeah, I think an immediate vibration lifter.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, very cool. Okay. So let's talk. You mentioned Lee Harris, who is one of my favorites. Let me ask this actually. I feel like I'm fairly familiar with what New World Library does, but is Lee Harris one of the only channels that you all have published? Is that unusual?
No, we did the Seth books.
Holy wow. You yeah. all were the publishing house behind the Seth books? I had no yeah. idea, Kim.
And Sanaa Roman also is our author.
I know. I have one of her books as well. I was looking for information on connecting with one's soul, and it was one of those books yeah. at East West that jumped out. It's an older book, but oh my gosh, a classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were a long time ago. So Lee is our new age channeler.
Yes. Yes.
New,
I know.
Now age.
The now age. Yes. Oh, that's awesome. And what is, just out of curiosity, you know, of course you mentioned the upcoming book that really emphasizes the need to not just look at the grisly, but to encourage and turn our attention to the joy and foster that. What else from some of his work stands out to you? Because I love the Z's, but I haven't listened in a little while.
Well, Lee does energy updates every mm-hmm. month. Mm-hmm. Like I would recommend that, like on YouTube, he takes the pulse of what's happening and then kind of gives a guide for that.
Yeah.
One of a practice that he recommends, I actually got to go to a Sylmar with him and Scott Stabile.
Yes.
And they did a creativity workshop, which was really amazing. Yeah. And one of the exercises and the things that he does is he says that everyone can channel their soul. Mm-hmm. So all you need to do is just sit down with a piece of paper and say, what does my soul want me to know right now? Yeah. And just start writing. It's that simple. It's the soul writing. And that when we're doing that, we are bringing our own soul forward. So yeah. I really love that. He talks a lot about being living multi-dimensionality.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure I was gonna be able to say that. And, you know, kind of balancing our soul selves with our human selves, which is kind of what I was going back to, right? Yeah. Like my spirit self and my soul self of the skipping movement was like, whoo, but I neglected my human self in that. I just got so focused on the soul and that anything's possible, which is true, but there's also a very human part of me that needed tending to. So yeah. He speaks to that quite a bit, which is really, really good. And
yeah,
he's just wonderful. Like, I can't recommend him highly enough.
I agree. He is, I have many serendipitous connection points with Lee, and he just really respect his work. He's one of those folks that just, you know, high integrity and a good person. What, at least in my experience, and you would know much better than I, but one of those folks that what you see is what you get. He's not a different persona when the camera goes off or the retreat ends. He's all around a neat guy.
100%. And he has he's built this community called the Portal Community. Mm-hmm. And of all the authors that I've worked with at New World Library in 16 years, he's just doing it right. You know,
really?
And it's really a wonderful, like their Facebook group is fantastic. It's just like really people who are on the cutting edge of living this way.
Yeah.
All gathered together. And he's something. He's a special one, that Lee Harris.
He is. Well, what a privilege to be able to work with him and to bring forth all the beautiful wisdom that the Z's bring through. Okay, so who else stands out? 16 years. Who is maybe like one of the authors you were just like, holy wow, I can't believe I'm working with this person, or they were just over the top amazing?
Meeting Eckhart Tolle was really incredible when he came to New World Library. And we did The Power of Now before I got to New World Library. Mm-hmm. We've done some projects with him, and we have an imprint called Eckhart Tolle Editions that publishes books that Eckhart picks.
Oh,
yeah. I just worked on one called Extraordinary Awakenings by Steve Taylor.
I interviewed him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was, I think that book wasn't, all Steve Taylor has done a few books with us. I think that one wasn't an Eckhart one, actually. Oh. Yeah, but the other, he has done a couple with us that were.
Yeah.
The Leap and The Calm Center and one other poet, like thoughtful poetry books.
Yeah.
So Eckhart came to the office, and that was just he felt like a tuning fork. He's so present, you know, and everyone was just kind of a little starstruck. And I was just like, Eckhart's in the house. Here's my inner child. He's got a really active inner child. And he just started giggling his cute little Eckhart giggle. It was amazing. So that's good. And then another personal favorite for me is Sark, who, because Sark has been on, you know, has been a part of my journey from the very beginning. I wrote to her when I started the skipping movement, and she wrote back and was very supportive, and even like gave me a little quote to put on my book project way back when, you know, like very supportive. And then when I was at the Learning Annex, I hosted a big event for her that went really well. And then when I came to New World Library, we published Succulent Wild Love and Glad No Matter What with her. And I got to be her publicist at New World Library. And, you know, her book, Succulent Wild Woman, was definitely one of my early permission giving, you know, like getting that Midwestern self to step aside so that my kind of inner skipper, joyous, creative one could come forward.
Yeah. Tell me, Sark, now that you're saying that, I had reached out and they were like, oh, sure, she'd love to be on your show. And we just, something dropped in the line of communication where we never did secure a date. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I never got to speak with her. But
For the new edition of Succulent Wild Woman that just came out?
No, this would have been like 3 or 4 years ago. at least. Yeah. And I don't think I was.
I hope it wasn't me that dropped the ball.
No. I was dealing with a gentleman, and it wasn't around the release of a new book. I had just reached out to her because she'd come across my radar screen so many times. So I didn't even time it around something that came out. So you would not have been involved. Yeah. She just looked like such a neat lady. And I thought, what a wonderful just energy she had. So tell me a little bit about her work, since I didn't ever get to talk to her. Like, what were some of the pieces that you took?
Creative light beam. I mean, she's all about creativity. Succulent Wild Woman is about, you know, living your most succulent life,
yeah,
creative life. She's really good also, again, bridging the two. So she writes a lot about the marvelous messy middle, and she handwrites most of her books and almost all of them in bright, colorful, handwritten font. So they're very unusual, and they're very creative, just like she is.
Yes.
We did Succulent Wild Love with her and with Dr. John Waddell, who was her fiance at the time.
Oh.
And he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer right when they turned in the book.
Oh my.
And so that means there's a few months before the book comes out. And so he was in chemo, and then she ended up promoting by herself, and he ultimately passed away. And it was to watch her go through this, you know, like people often just associate her with the light end of the spectrum, but here she was navigating all of this really, really intense stuff. It was pretty amazing. And then now to watch her, walk her talk,
yes,
and practice what she preaches, you know, like she did such a beautiful job of that. And then she's in love again. Like she had this amazing new person that called her inspiration line, and it's like love at first sight, and she's deeply in love with him, and he's here now. So it's, you know, it's pretty incredible. And she wrote a lot about grief, and she uses her life, to really help people deal with whatever they're helping what they need help with.
Yes. Oh, that's so good to know. And I love that she was a part of your life before you even went to New World Library, and then you were able to help her as she brought forth one of her books.
Yeah, our paths definitely have always crossed. And so it was like, oh my gosh, Sark? Like,
yes.
Yeah, pretty great.
Oh, so I'm thinking back, and I'm going to do a show on this, but some of the biggest, I think, like takeaways in terms of just what I've learned about being a human, and I've learned as it really applies to me as a human, spiritual being having a human experience. And some of my favorite material has been the folks who are either researching or have had near-death experiences. And it just, the messages are so affirming and good reminders of, you know, that we're never alone, that we're always safe, and that things are going to work out. Those, you know, all those themes that many of those people come back with. So kind of in that same vein, Kim, what are some of the big, like, life or spiritual lessons that you've learned from your authors? Because I would assume there would be some big themes, even among books that are on slightly different topics, but they all kind of come through with, I would imagine that there would be some messages that you've received along the way, big takeaways.
I think the biggest thing for me is integrating the darkness.
Ah.
Because that's what I needed the most.
Yeah.
You know, like, that it's not all rainbows and unicorns all the time. Like, it's great when they're to amplify it when it is. I mean, I'm all about rainbows and unicorns, but there's also a lot of pain and suffering, and kind of, we need to be able to hold both of those things.
Yeah.
And then ultimately use that darkness and the challenging times as fuel to create the change we did a book in the fall called Sit Down to Rise Up by Shelley Tegelsky.
Uh-huh.
It's really all about, like, and that's our work in the world, is how do we take this to the next level?
Yeah.
And really, like, being present to the darkness and the struggle and the bad things that are going on, not turning away from it, like being able to hold it and integrate it, is so important. And I just worked on a video. We just published a new edition of Joanna Macy and Chris Johnstone's book, Act of Hope, which is about facing the mess we're going in without going crazy. And that was a big theme there, you know? So not only, like, when I first came to New World Library and I was like, oh, the dark night of the soul, that's what I've been in.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of that, but even more immediately with what's going on in the world right now, and our inner work and that kind of thing, I would say is definitely an overarching theme that's been very important to me.
And can you maybe, going back even a little further, what were some of the other authors? Because I hear when you're talking about really being able to hold both the darkness and the light, like what were some of the ones, folks who really go deep with like the shadow work or the dark side of things that helped you personally?
Well, Joseph Campbell. Bill Plotkin. And Sarah Avant Stover wrote a book called The Book of She, which is about the heroine's journey. And that one, I highly recommend that one.
Yeah.
And Act of Hope and Shelley's book, you know, but I think that I guess those are the main ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now you've got to have had some crazy moments as a publicist. I would just imagine like things that go down behind the scenes or like a moment where you're like some crazy media appearance or I don't know, like what are some of the funny memories that you have? If you have any, like, because I shared an embarrassing moment last week when I was looking back on 7 years and like I had the opportunity to interview probably the teacher of my heart of this lifetime, Martha Beck. And like 10 things went south. Like it just was like one of the lessons was you can't control anything. Don't even try to, because when you do, it just makes it worse. Just roll with the punches. So anything like that that you have that might be funny or entertaining to look back on?
The first thing that came to mind is not from New World Library, but it's when I was at the Learning Annex and we would organize these big events. Well, they did Sylvia Brown's. And we would sell tickets for Sylvia Brown's big events at the Masonic in San Francisco, and she would and all over.
Yeah.
And so people would call, and you know, and so Sylvia Brown was like a big part of the Learning Annex.
Yeah.
And so when she came to town, the instructions, like she had very specific requests for the green room, which she needed, I think, a dozen hot dogs and a crock pot in the green room.
Just for her?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Like I didn't ask. We just got the corn dogs for her. And just, she was such a riot. Like, you know, like people in the audience, they'd say, Sylvia, they come up and ask a question. What's my spirit guide's name? She said, your spirit guide's name is Thelma. Next. She was like, it was hilarious. Like that's definitely one, just like working with Sylvia Brown, may she rest in peace.
Yeah.
Was definitely a good one. Uh-huh. And then it's funny, like I have, so, you know, like there's things happen and people miss interviews and authors miss interviews. And it's a terrible thing when that happens. And I have this video of my own that I send to my authors when that happens.
Oh no.
Right when the skipping movement first started, I was invited to be a guest on Mornings on 2 with Mark Pitta in San Francisco. And it was my first television interview. I was so excited. The newspaper article had come out the day before and all my friends wanted to go out to celebrate. I was like, nope, I'm going to bed early. I got to be up. I got to be down at Justin Herman Plaza at 7 a.m. tomorrow for this interview. So I go to bed. And then I wake up and I'm like, wow, I like feel pretty rested for, you know, before my alarm, I think. And I like look at the clock. I'm supposed to be there at 7. It's like 9:45. And I'm supposed to be at work at 9.
Oh, Kim.
So it's like that was my unconscious self like, oh no, we don't want to do this or something. I don't know. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. And I like look at my voicemail. I have like 4 messages. My phone had rang and I just slept. My alarm had gone off and I had just slept through it all. And so I turn on. So then people are like, work's calling. They're concerned about me. Where am I? I like turn on. I discovered that the show went on without me. And so I have it all. And it's, so I have the segment. So he like said, so this is Kim. She's a publicist, and holding the newspaper up, article of me up, and saying, and holding the microphone up to the newspaper saying, so she's supposed to be here, but pardon the pun, she skipped out on us.
Oh.
So Kim, when we get back, where he's like, acts like he puts my picture in the paper in his chair. And he's like, we're going to see if I can beat you to the punch and get more people to skip than you. So then Mark Pitta, I'll have to send you the link, Sunny.
It's
hilarious. And it's like, if you just Google mornings on two, yeah. Mark Pitta skipping, it would come up. And so I ran into him. I went to a comedy club like a year later and he was the headliner.
Oh my.
And I was so nervous to meet him and tell him what had happened. And so I went up to him after. I said, I'm the skipper. I'm the, his producer, like, ghosted me. I mean, they were not happy with me at all.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I said, I'm so sorry that happened. And he said, oh my gosh. He said, that is the most popular segment I've ever done.
What?
I'm glad you didn't come. And then the two of us skipped out of the comedy club together. So it was like a good ending later, but I was mortified. And so whenever my authors, like mess up and then they're mortified, I say, here's just a little something for you. So you know what happens to the best of us. And I send them Mark Pitta skipping around, getting all these people to skip in San Francisco.
Okay. I am so happy you shared that story because that is completely new to me. And I'm so sorry that happened for you, the mortification feeling and all. But it sounds like, obviously, it had a very good ending. And oh my gosh, that's really funny. I'm so sorry.
It was. I called my dad. I can remember when I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, and he's like, Kim. I'm like, don't Kim me. Like, what? He's like, he goes, whenever things like this happen to me, I just like think about how huge the universe is. Like, it'll be behind you soon.
Yes.
And I've always felt that like the worst mess ups make the best stories later.
They really
do. As long
do.
As you can hold on.
Exactly. And that one even had for him to be able to say, I'm so glad you didn't show up. It was my most watched segment ever. Most popular.
Totally.
Like, that's awesome. Oh, oh, well, okay, so you've had some good times at New World Library. Let's see, is there anything else, because I want to make sure we leave a little bit of time at least for the Unicorn Blessing Brigade, which is something that you're currently working on. But anything else from your New World Library time? Any advice for folks out there who are thinking they might want to be able to be a New World Library author someday, or just cool stuff you've got coming up?
Well, let's see. I would say for people who want to submit, if you have a project that you want to submit to New World Library, that there's a link on our website with submission mm-hmm. guidelines if you mm-hmm. have a project. And nothing really else comes to mind. It's just a great place to be.
It is. And I want to also bring attention to, it was started, in 1977 with Mark Allen and Shakti Gawain. And that
I should have mentioned her earlier, actually. She was my mentor, became a very dear friend. She passed away in 2018.
Yeah.
But she is definitely one of my, just, it was amazing to have the opportunity to work with her and get to know her.
I can't even imagine. Yeah. I had the wonderful honor of talking to Mark at the 40th anniversary of the New World Library publishing, and to hear the humble beginnings in a little small apartment kitchen with Shakti and him, and that manuscript that is such a classic with creative visualization.
Yeah.
It just feels like
it's
a foundation.
Still one of our bestsellers.
Yeah. I mean, it's timeless wisdom that people have built upon from then, but I feel like it was like revolutionary at the time when it came out. I mean, it still is, but other people have piggybacked on it quite a bit since then.
The comments on her Facebook page when she passed away, and mm-hmm. the depth, the way, how many lives that woman impacted, it's truly inspiring.
Yeah. Oh, what an honor. I mean, yeah, New World Library, you all have done some good stuff. Okay, Unicorn Blessing Brigade. I have not been in Petaluma since this all started, but tell us about it. I know, because you have, let me just also preface this by saying, so everybody has a friend that maybe has like an animal or something that they really like. And so you always, for whatever gift or occasion, like I had a friend in Austin who started a food truck, and she did fried chicken and waffles. The name is a little bit racy, so I'm not going to say it on air, and it's not still around anymore, but we had some good times. But for every occasion, somebody would give her a picture of a rooster or a chicken. So she had all these figurines, she had everything. Okay. That being for Kim Skipper Corbin is unicorns. Kim has a lot of unicorns. Okay. Tell us about unicorns, why you love them, and what the Unicorn Blessing Brigade is.
I just have always, you know, kind of identified as a bit of a unicorn in general. Like, and a friend of mine started a thing called the Unicorn Scouts a number of years ago and gave me my first unicorn horn. Mm-hmm. And so I've just always loved unicorns. And then when the Butter and Egg Days parade didn't happen in Petaluma, not this past year, not this year, but the year before, Mo from the Mail Depot called me and said, I have a giant blow up pink unicorn outfit. Would you be interested in coming down and being in a mini parade and skipping the mini parade uh-huh. wearing this blow up unicorn outfit? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, oh my gosh. Like, like, I was so excited. And so I went down there and a skipping unicorn was born. I mean, that one is like a full head, like, you know, and I love wearing that thing. I just love it. And so that was the first thing. And then my friend Tracy had sent me a video of a bunch of people who were out one night, like riding those Halloween costumes, all different ones in the video she sent me. Like, you know, there's like there's cows and there's horses, and it looks like you're riding them. Your upper body is out, and then your legs are their legs.
Uh-huh.
Well, she said, wouldn't this be fun? We should do it with unicorns. And so then the Unicorn Blessing Brigade was born, and I put out a call to Petaluma, which is a very quirky. I knew there was going to be other people who identify as unicorns. And I said, calling all unicorns, we're going to paint the streets with positivity.
Yeah.
This Unicorn Blessing Brigade, because a herd of unicorns is called a blessing.
I mean, so, of course it is.
Yes. And so that was in end of June. And we had like 40 unicorns came. And we rode through town. And people who, even if they didn't participate in the actual ride, uh-huh. were along the route that we had given them. And they were cheering us on. And it was just so amazing. And now we've been invited next week. It's like coming up really fast to be a part of a new third Thursday event in Petaluma called Arts Alive, where like art galleries and businesses are going to have creative art, you know, themed activities and music and that kind of thing at like a bunch of different businesses on the same night.
Yeah.
And so the unicorns are going to be kicking that off and then going along and like cheering the different locations. And so that's this coming Thursday. It was so great too. There's one of the best parts of the first one is the kids.
Yes, I've seen some videos. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they are so excited about it.
This time I'm really encouraged. People said, "Can kids come first?" I said, "Yes," but now I'm like, "Please bring your kids," because they just really led the way and were like so much fun. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I just love the idea of just this, you know, group of Petaluma unicorns who, you know, putting out the call and just having people show up. It's like really something.
Yes. So, not that there needs to be like a vision for it, but do you have some ideas about where you would want to take it? Like, it doesn't even need to go beyond Petaluma. It is amazing as it is, but just curious if you're inspired or you have like a vision of something else that you'll be doing with it.
What I kind of like that right now, the vision is very local for me.
Yeah.
Especially because it feels safe. It feels compared to the skipping movement, which was like, you know, San Francisco and national media.
Yes.
And all of that. Like my slowest part is like, oh, this is nice. Like really getting to know my community and connecting with the businesses in our community and the other creative people in our community. Yep. And like for me right now, that's my main focus. And I'm open to what the universe has in store. So
yeah.
You know, I think that and I will as things get if it keeps getting traction, then I'll do some national publicity around it and then see what happens. I have a friend in New York, Michelle Joni, who started Michelle Joni's Skipping Club there, who has a gigantic old school bus that she turned into a unicorn. She happens to also be a unicorn. So we're talking about doing a Unicorn Blessing Brigade in New York with her that includes her thing next year at some point.
Oh,
so. I'm sure that the unicorn shenanigans have just begun, but it's not something that I have like with the skipping movement that I knew my goal was to do that. Mm-hmm. It's more just like being in the spirit of play and seeing where it takes me.
Yeah. And Petaluma is such a wonderful community in which to do that. And they are so lucky to have you bringing the Unicorn Blessing Brigade and all of the joy that comes along with that. Okay. So if people want to connect with you about I don't know that we have many listeners in the Bay Area anymore now that I'm not in Petaluma, but, if they wanted to find out how to participate or where do they show up for the one that you're doing, a week from now or so.
We're meeting at Grand Central, the coffee place, starting at 5:30. And then we're going to go across go on the turning basin to Water Street Bridge. Like, we're leaving right at 6.
And the date is
Thursday, August 18th.
Thursday, okay. So yeah, that's next week. Okay. Or at least from where we're taping right now. So, okay. Well, Kim, it has just been such a fun hour with you to be able to interview Kim Skipper Corbin. And be on,
so much fun.
Oh, so thank you for being my guest. And any other things you want to leave us with, Kim, before we wrap up today?
I just want to thank you, Sunny, for the amazing interviews that you've done with New World Library authors over the years, and the depth with which you prepare. You're one of those hosts that always reads the book, which is very unusual. And it's just a joy to work with you professionally, and I just feel honored to call you my friend.
Oh, right back at you, Kim, and thank you. The work that you were doing and the New World Library is doing makes my job easy and so much fun and so joyful, since we were talking about joy.
Sunny Joy.
Woo! Okay, everybody, that'll bring us to the end of the hour. You have been listening to Sunny in Seattle. I am your host, Sunny Joy. I was joined today by Kim Skipper Corbin, and we'll see you next week, everyone. Bye.